worship you, Lord. I get excited. Why? Because the life of God lives in my spirit. That excites me, knowing that a spiritual DNA, you can be seated, abideth in my spirit. Well, somebody said, well, I heard you couldn't see. How can you be so happy? You know why I can be so happy? Because my eyes aren't born again. My spirits are born again. My spirit has the life of God living inside of it. And if we could ever grasp the operation that lives inside of me and you, we would never have another bad day in Christ. Because our candle has been lit, my friends. We have been born again. The life, listen to this. Listen. The life that God is the life that Christ had and has. And as I believed in Christ and confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart the testimony that Christ gave, that he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, as the Father had life within himself and gave Son to have life within himself. So I have the life of God in myself, my friends. I'm excited. I'm very excited. But Pastor Homer, you can't see. Who told you I couldn't see? Who told you that lie? Who told you that I didn't have a spiritual eyesight? Who told you that lie? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I'm in chains as a prisoner of God. I'm physically in bonds. There's chains. I'm in prison for the gospel's sake. I'm in prison because I preach Jesus Christ crucified. I'm in prison and I'm bound up in chains. But then he said something so remarkable that has saw me through this. He said, I'm in bonds, Terry. I'm in chains for the gospel's sake. He said, while I'm in bonds, in physical chains, in prison, he said, I might be bound up in bonds and chains and physical chains. But he said, the operation or the life of God in me, though I be in chains, that operation, it cannot be bound up and chained up with chains. Because our operation is internal. Our spirit has been lit. No matter if we're facing death, martyrdom, blindness, sickness, what we have in Christ, it cannot be bound up, my friends. No one, no devil in hell has the power to stop a man or woman that has the life of God abiding in them. The essence, the image of God lives in our human spirit. We have been born again. A golden man lives inside of me and you. We have been lit. Our candle has been lit. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, the place inside of me and you that's been recreated after God in holiness and true righteousness, that new man inside of us, if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, then guess what lives inside of our human spirit? If God is light and in him is no darkness at all, that means in my human spirit is the life of God. And if the life of God abides in my human spirit, and if I am born again, and if 1 John chapter 1 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and if the life of God abides in my spirit, then guess what abides in my spirit if God is light? If God is light and in him is no darkness at all, that means in my spirit is what? Light. And in my spirit is what? No darkness at all. Now our soul is something a little different, but in my spirit, man, is the same spirit, the same spiritual DNA that Christ and his humanity had. You think I can be stopped? Do you think you can be stopped? Yea and nay, we cannot be stopped. No one can stop me and you but ourselves. The life of God abideth in us. John said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 Peter said, we've been called out of darkness into a marvelous light. Into a marvelous light, meaning a wonderful light. Paul said in Ephesians, for you were darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We know we walk as children of the light when we walk and live our lives outside of that part of us that has the life of God in it. We have been born again. If you can grasp what lives inside of your spirit, if you can grasp the golden man, that's a terminology that we use here about our born again spirit, we can grasp the life of God that lives inside of our spirit. If you can comprehend with your soul what lives inside of you, you will never ever, we will never ever, ever, never, ever backslide again. Never. We will never commit adultery again. We will never commit fornication again. We won't walk in strife again if we can come to the conclusion in our soul and have something satisfied in there that God's life is in me, in you, and no one can stop us. According to Genesis 1, we have been made after the image of God. His life abides in our spirit. Your candle, my friend, has been lit. In your spirit is light, and in your spirit is no darkness at all. That's why I can get excited. But I know that the peace that's maintaining me through this ordeal is the same peace. It tells me, boy, you're going to see again. So I have no worries. Don't you ever feel sorry for me. I have more peace in my life the last 1 year of not being able to see completely than I ever have in my life with 20/20 eyesight. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to behold my God. Don't feel sorry for me. Please don't. I'll hit you upside the head with this microphone if you come try to apologize to me. Bam! No, my candle has been lit. Don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you if you feel sorry for me because you're going to get hit with this mic. We have been born again. Galatians chapter 5. Real quick. Now forgive me, I didn't get in my prayer closet today. I had a guy by the name of Carl Ellie that stayed in my house all day talking about the word. Hungry young man. We had a great time, didn't we, Carl? We cut it up. What do you say, Carl? We was chopping it up. Yeah. Galatians 5, I think it's 20, where it says the works of the flesh. Is that right, Pastor Bronk? Galatians 5, 20. Now, if I miss a couple of words in these verses, I think you'll forgive me. But Paul said this, you got to know what he's making reference to. All this teachings that we have are about sonship, about us being sons of the Almighty God. The church, the modern day church, we have been too quick to put people into heaven. Everybody in there, I mean, and this is no disrespect to nobody. But everybody that dies, you go on Facebook and where are they at? They're all in heaven. And I pray to God that they had a changing experience with Christ at the last minute. That's possible. Christ would take them. But the worst sinner in the world, RIP, rest in peace. There's no resting in peace in hell, my friends. We're too quick to put people into heaven. Are you judging? No, but I'm going to quote some verses to you that will judge. I'm going to quote some verses tonight to you that have the final say so in the matter, not me. I'm nobody. But Paul said, the great apostle Paul, he said in Galatians 5, starting in verse 20, I believe. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. When you hear the word flesh in Romans, Galatians, or Ephesians, well, it doesn't really say flesh much in Ephesians. It says it a lot in Romans and Galatians. You have to know this. If you don't know this, you will not understand the book. Well, how do you know? Because I know how to read. And I read those books a lot. That is my life. So when you hear the terminology of the word flesh in Romans or in Galatians, Paul is making reference to a man that is not born again. Meaning he does not have the life of Christ in him. He is a sinner. He is not born again. He has not encountered the cross. He has not encountered Christ Jesus as Redeemer. He is a sinner. If the person in that sinful stage were to die, they would be in hell. Paul said, the works of the flesh are manifest. Or we could phrase it like this. The works of an unregenerate person under law is this. This is what sinners do, Paul was saying. This is what people do that have not the life of God abiding in them. This is their lifestyle. So he's going to list to us 15 or 16 things that unregenerate people that are not born again do. Paul said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is what he said. Paul said this. He said this. Now the works of an unregenerate person, the works of the flesh are. And I don't know, I have it all in order, so bear with me. He said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, is that right? Lasciviousness, witchcraft, emulations, variance, seditions, heresies, wrath, anger, drunkenness, murders, revelings. I think I missed one or two. It doesn't matter. He lists certain things that people that are not born again do. He lists. He said, these are the things people that don't know Jesus is what they do. He said, and I've told you before, he says, and I'm going to tell you again. This is what Paul said. This is what Paul, don't, this isn't the doctrine of our church. We didn't, my pastor did not make this up, though we preach this doctrine, but we didn't write the canon of the scripture, but we preach this as a canon of the scripture. We preach this as truth. Paul said, regarding people that are not born again, he said, this is the lifestyle that they walk in. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, emulations, variance, wrath, murders, seditions, drunkenness, revelings, murders. He said, I've told you once, and I'm going to repeat it again, Paul said, that they which do such things shall what? Shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. We have put too many faces in front of scriptures in the Bible. If we like somebody, nobody likes coming to the conclusion that this person that they love went to hell. Nobody does. I don't. But Paul gives us a description, as my pastor so exhorted this morning, in a powerful, powerful. I've talked to our elders in our church and to Carl, and I've never heard such a more anointed exhortation that was so powerful but so anointed in my life. You can go to our church website and hear it probably Tuesday or Wednesday, the exhortation that he gave. It left me numb. Powerful and bold, but with anointing, seasoned with grace and love. It was powerful. Paul said, I'm going to list to you things that people that are not born again do. He said, and the things that I list unto you, he said, I've told you once, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to share this with you again. These people that sin habitually, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank. We cannot put anybody into heaven. You don't have that authority. We don't believe in purgatory here because it does not exist. You cannot, your pastor, I cannot, my pastor, we cannot put anybody in heaven just because we love them. Do we rejoice because they're going to hell? No. But I cannot do certain funerals for somebody if they die, and just to please 300 people at a funeral and say they're going to heaven. I will be held accountable for that. As a man of God, I'll be held accountable for that lie. Paul said, this is what people that are not born again do. But thank God that he also wrote what born again people do. He said, people that aren't born again, the works of the flesh are manifest, which is adultery, fornication, and he listed 16 things. This is what people that are not born again do habitually. habitually, with no restraint. If you're doing this with no restraint and it does not bother you, my friend, according to the scripture, you have not been born again. According to the scripture, if there is no restraint in your life and you're visiting this place of the flesh pretty consistently, either you're on your way out or you've never been in. Is that your doctrine? Well, that's just what we preach from truth, and it's pretty cut and dry. So Paul gave us a description of what people that are not born again under law do. He says this is what they do. This is what's in them. They have a sin nature. A sin man lives in them. They have no restraint. There's no conviction. This is how they live, and it does not faze them. But praise God for the Apostle Paul. The one that said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than y'all. Why would he make such a statement? Oh, because he did. He said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than ye all. More than ye all. He said, then he said something so powerful. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's a small s, talking about the born again spirit, the life of God that lives in you. He said, well, the works of the flesh of a sinner are these. Then he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, or he said, the fruit of a man that's born again, the fruit of the Spirit is this. He lifted 16 or 17 things that people that were not born again did. He said, these are the works of the flesh. They are manifest. Then he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. He said, but people that are born again walk in this. He said, they don't walk in the flesh. When you see the word flesh in Romans and Galatians, it's talking about a man that's not born again. How do you know? Because I've spent days and hours, hundreds of times reading the book of Romans. And I have one of the best teachers as a man on the face of this earth named Pastor Dave Roberson, who is second to none. And then I have the Holy Ghost, who Pastor Dave Roberson cannot touch. So Paul made a, there's a dividing line. A person that's not born again, this is what he preaches. And this is how he lives. A person that is born again, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, he said, right underneath verse 20, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Now, what he quoted, don't they seem to be completely opposite, don't they? You know why? Because they are. There's two different species there. One that is not born again and one that is not born again. He said, one that's not born again, he lives in this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, emulations, variance, wrath, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, murders, revelings. They live in habitual sin with no restraint because they don't have the life of God in them. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of a man or woman that's born again, this is what they walk in. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Then he says something so powerful. He said, against such there is no law. Do you know why he said that? Against such there is no law. Do you know why he said that? Because the law has been fulfilled through the love of Christ that we walk in. Listen to what he said. Those that are born again, those that are born again, they walk in the fruits of the Spirit. They walk in the life of God. They walk in the light of God. Those that are born again, they have their lifestyle. Those that are born again, they have their lifestyle. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of a man or woman that has accepted Jesus Christ as Redeemer, this is the fruit. This is the lifestyle that they walk in. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then he says something more spectacular. And they that are Christ, or those that are born again, and they that are Christ have what? Crucified the what? The flesh. What did Paul say was the works of an unregenerate person in the verse before? He said the works of the flesh. He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, are these things. The works of the flesh, the works of an unregenerate person, are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, emulations, variance, wrath, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, murders, revelings. This is what people that live after the flesh that are not born again, this is how they live. But those that are born again, they live like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, those that walk in the fruits of the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. What did he say the works of the flesh were? 16 things he listed. But Paul said, one that's born again has crucified the flesh. Meaning, we've crucified adultery, fornication. That old man that used to crank that out of our spirit, that old man, that sin nature, has been destroyed with the affections and the lust which came with being a person that was not born again. That junk has been crucified in your life, meaning you have the capacity now to not walk in that filth ever again, because the affections and the lust of the flesh of an unregenerate person, that spirit that you once had, that spirit man, has been destroyed by the power of the rebirth and the affections and the lust of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. What, you know what I mean? Those lusts, those affections, they have been crucified, put to death on the flesh by the power of the rebirth. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. That I've told you once that all the law is fulfilled in this. And they that are Christ, or those that walk after the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Listen to what he said after that. He said, if we live in the Spirit, it's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about if you live out of that born-again spirit. But if you live in the Spirit, listen to what he said. If you live in the Spirit, same subject, but if you live in the Spirit, what did he say? But the fruits of the Spirit are, saying he's talking about the same born-again spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, of such like as told. Now, he said, and the law has been fulfilled through love. He said, and through Christ, you've crucified the affections and the lust of the flesh. It doesn't have dominion over you. Then he said, if we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, Family Prayer Center, those of you that are here from other churches, if you are born again, then let us also, if we live with God's Spirit, the life of God in our human spirit, if his conviction or his spiritual DNA abides in your spirit, then you live in the Spirit. If you're born again, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as Redeemer, if you've confessed him with your mouth and you believed in your heart, you are a new species. You have been born again. A marvelous light abideth in you. And if you live in the Spirit, listen to what he said. It's interesting that he said this, but if you live in the Spirit, or if we live in the Spirit, we must also what? Also, if we're living in the Spirit, if we're living in Christ, if the fruits of the Spirit live in our spirit, he said, if we live in the Spirit, we must also walk in the Spirit. Well, how? What qualifies me, Pastor Homer, to live in the Spirit? One thing, that you know Jesus Christ as Redeemer. That's the only thing that qualifies you to live in the Spirit. But then he said, if you live in the Spirit, Homer, then you must also walk in the Spirit. Well, Paul, how can I walk in the Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. He says, you live in the Spirit, you're born again. You must also like you live in the Spirit, you must also walk in the Spirit. He told me, word for word, how I could walk in the Spirit. If I live in the Spirit, if I'm born again, if the life of God abides in my human spirit, then I must also walk out of what lives inside of my human spirit. And he told me precisely how I could walk in the Spirit. A person that's not born again walks in darkness. How do they walk in darkness? Because they live in adultery. They live in fornication. They live in uncleanness. They live in lasciviousness. They live in witchcraft. The word witchcraft is basically means the word, it's pharmaceutical. It means they live in drug abuse. They live in heresies. They live in sin. There's no restraint. If they live in sin, then they're going to what? They're going to walk in sin. We live in the Spirit because we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if we live in the Spirit, if the life of God that was in Christ lives in us, our candle's been lit, we've been born again, we qualify to live in the Spirit, then Paul says, if you live in the Spirit and you're born again, you also must walk in the Spirit. An unregenerate person, one that walks in the flesh, that is not born again, he walks according to what is in his dead nature. He walks in adultery. He walks in fornication. He walks in strife because there is nothing inside of him to restrain him from that lifestyle. Now that we are born again, he says, walk according to what lives in you. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit if I live in the Spirit, Paul? How do I walk out my life in Christ? He told us. To a T, for the fruit of the Spirit, how you walk out of the Spirit, how you live out of the Spirit is easy. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. You plant an orange tree, what's it going to bear? Carl said grapefruits. If Christ Jesus is planted in you, according to Romans, what's going to come out of you? Righteousness, goodness, truth. So he said, if you live in the Spirit, at 10 till, Alex, ring the bell, okay? 10 till. So what qualifies me and you to live in the Spirit is to say, yay, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Then the life of God comes and indwells your human spirit, meaning your candle has been lit. You are that city that's set on a hill. You are that city set on a hill that gives light unto all the world. He said, but if you live in the Spirit, you must also as you live in the Spirit, you must also walk out of that place that lives inside of you. You must also walk out of the life of God that indwells your human spirit. You used to have a sin nature, Homer. You used to walk according to the flesh. When you said yes to Jesus, not only were you a new creature, but that old nature that you had, it was utterly destroyed by the power of the rebirth, by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Romans says sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You have encountered Christ Jesus. If you live in the Spirit, if I live in the Spirit, I must also walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit if I live in the Spirit? Paul said, for the fruit of the Spirit is this. What I'm going to name to you is what it means to walk out this salvation in Christ in the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. To walk in the Spirit, I have to walk in the Spirit because I live in the Spirit. But how to walk in the Spirit, Paul just told us in the verse before. You want to know, you want the world to know that you belong to Jesus? Walk in the Spirit. Well, Paul, how do I walk in the Spirit? By walking in the fruits of the Spirit. Well, how do I walk in the fruits of the Spirit? By doing what's right. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Friends, this is how we live. This is our lifestyle. The life of God cries out within our human spirit. Your candle has been lit. You are that city that is set on a hill. You are that salt that is not to lose its savor. By your good works shall men see your good works, not as in something physical, but as in spiritual. When they see you walking according to the Spirit, they're going to say, my God, that woman and that man, they are sons of the kingdom. So how we walk in the Spirit is we live out of the Spirit. How do I live out of the Spirit? By keeping the instruction of the born again Spirit. Paul said those that are born again, the fruit that they walk in is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Paul said, serve one another in love. Listen to what he said. To serve one another in love. He said, serve one another in love. Small gathering of young adults at the family prayer center. Serve one another in love. Serve one another out of your spirit. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Paul's saying to us, according to what he's teaching, to walk in the Spirit because you're born of the Spirit. He says a few verses up, serve one another with love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. That you love your neighbor as yourself. The book of James says we are to keep royal law as it is written in the scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Christ Jesus, the head of the church, said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John said, John, 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another. Paul said, towards the end of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, as followers of God, walk in love. The modern day church, we've missed it. We think that it's by much preaching and articulation. No. We've come up with ideas on how to expand our churches. We've come up with ideas on how to go out into the streets and manipulate people to come to church. Creating man-made ideas to go out into society so that we can have a bigger church. There's only one problem with that. Please show me in the scriptures. Show me. I'll give you $1,000 that I don't have, but I'll come up with them somewhere. Please show me in the scriptures where the apostles in the book of Acts were creating ideas to make their church larger. Please show me. Please show me where a deacon board got together and put their minds together to create a bigger congregation. Please show me. You can't show me because it does not exist. On the contrary, the Bible says that there were people added to the church daily because they were in one accord, in one mind. They had a unanimous mind, and they were in every house daily preaching and teaching and dispersing to the saints as they had need. If our mindset is to go out and to build a big church, we've missed it. We have absolutely 100% missed it. Nothing in the scripture leads me to believe that we're called to build a church. We're called to evangelize. We're called to lay hands on the sick. But the Holy Ghost knows our motives, my heart, my friends. He knows our motives. We live this life and our church is expanded and people are added by one way and one way alone. When we go out into society, when we go out into the world, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." He said, "By this will all men know." By this will all men know. What does all men include? It means all men. It means the homosexual. It means the sinner. It means the lesbian. It means the adulterer. It means the fornicator. Society, those that have not seen God, they will know, if they have an ear to hear, they will know that you belong to me by the love that you show them. That's the only way that society, that this world that's unregenerate, that does not know Jesus, there's only one way. It isn't by the Bible verses that we have memorized. It isn't by the ideas that we have. It's by the agape, the fruit, the love of the Almighty God that we walk in. I got to minister to two gay girls the other day. Gay. No hiding it. Gay. I sat them down. I said, "You know, I love both of you. I love you a lot. And I'm not going to say their names, and I got to watch what I say. I said, you are my friend." Because he had told me before, "I want to thank you, Pastor Homer, that you've never judged me. But you got to watch it, though." I said, "No, I've judged your lifestyle, and you know what I feel about it." I said, "But I love you." I said, "I love you a lot." I said, "I'm going to pray you out of your lifestyle. Because I want you to know Jesus Christ as Redeemer." By the time she left, she was crying. And she gave me a hug. "That person get born again yet?" "No, but you know what? I sowed a seed in her heart through Christ. I sowed a seed in her heart. 9 out of 10 Christians would have ripped her. But I sowed a seed and gave her hope through the Holy Ghost. Not through my own human endeavor, but through listening quietly to the inner witness on knowing what to say to these two. I said, you know what I stand for. And my seal of approval is not on this at all. But I do love you." She said, "Mr. Homer, thank you." And then the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I didn't know till she told me afterwards. And by the way, out of the blues, "I want to pray for your mama." I went to school with her mama. I said, "Bring your mama to me." I said, "And you need to return her phone calls." I didn't know nothing. But now I felt the Holy Ghost. I said, "Because tomorrow is never guaranteed. It is never guaranteed. Your mama needs you." And I did not know per se what state her mother was in. I did know through the Spirit, as I told my wife 4 or 5 days ago, what state her mother was in. She had a damnable disease. I said, "By the way," through the Spirit, nobody told me nothing, I said, "Return your mama's phone call. She loves you. You're her last hope." She began to weep again. That is the love of God. That he wants me and you, collectively, corporately, as a family, to walk in. We preach truth, but it has to be seasoned with grace and love. I've made mistakes from this pulpit. I've made mistakes. But I'm learning every day as I give myself over to the Holy Ghost through the praying in tongues process, through the purging process. I've learned we got 10 minutes left, but I've learned how to more and more live my life out of my spirit. We've led, the corporate body of Christ has lived our life in Christ out of knowing and remembering Scripture. You know, you can know Scripture, you can quote Scripture, you can know truth and quote truth to somebody, and they might not know it, but you quoted truth, you quoted the Scripture, I quoted truth, I quoted the Scripture with malice in my heart. I wanted to hurt them. I've done it before, and so have we. My pastor's always told me when I go preach in other towns, he said, Homer, don't preach what you know. This has stayed with me forever. Preach what you hear out of my spirit. People don't care what you know. But if I preach what I hear, then I obey the voice of the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit. If I obeyed him, and he knows what that person that I'm ministering to, if he knows what they need, and he and I'm hearing him clearly out of my spirit, then somebody's about to get blessed. Because the mind of Christ is being ministered to them out of my spirit through the wisdom and the love and the comfort of God, the Holy Spirit. That's what he's after. My friends, we are sons of God. Your candle has been lit. You have been born again. The golden man, we'll go into that in a couple of weeks, lives inside you. What's the golden man? Your born again spirit. He lives inside of you. The life of God lives inside of you. So we live in the Spirit, Paul said. We also must walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit, Pastor Homer? Paul said in the verse before, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance. I'm done with this. There's one thing that I've done. You figure when a man goes blind, it has been for a season. I'm doing this to teach you, and I'm done. You figure when a man that trusts God and loves God goes blind, you figure, I'm gonna let you answer this question. Answer it if you like. How many Christians do you know, per se, that would not lose their peace and blame God for going blind? How many of you know Christians? What's the percentage, do you think, in your mind, that would stay strong and keep praising God? Well, maybe a little bit more than zero. But okay, a few. What do you say, Corey? 4%. Okay, 4%. I say 4.1. Okay, this is the thing. You've got to grasp this, and I'm done because the bell rang. We had 10 minutes, right? Okay, listen here. I am nobody. I am not special. My willpower has nothing to do with what I feel inside of me, even going through this phase in my life. But I've done something that has purposely, I've done something on purpose that is sovereign. I've done something purposely. I've made up my mind to do something. It works sovereignly inside of me. And you can laugh at it. You can mock it. Your church might not agree with it. I don't care. I judge what's sovereign. I judge what it has done to my walk in Christ Jesus, that I have more peace being about 80, 85% blind. I have more peace now than I ever had when I had 20/20 eyesight. What did you do, Homer? What did you do? I want to know to have that kind of peace. I want to know. Well, I'm going to tell you. You don't have to listen to me. I'm nobody. But judge the exuberance that I have right now, Barrett. I can't see nobody's face. I can see light in the back. That's enough. I just see black, but I see light in the back. But one thing has sustained me and has purged me of certain things, and it has purged me from pornography. It has purged me from hate, from unforgiveness. What did you do that purged you from this filth? I prayed countless hours in tongues underneath my breath. Edifying and exhorting and comforting my spirit. See, people think they know how to teach 1 Corinthians 14. Listen, my friends, the Bible is taught in subjects. There are no chapters in the original Greek. There are no chapters in the epistles. King James put the chapters in there. There are no italicized words in the original Greek. There is no punctuations in the original Greek. So if you don't know where a subject starts and you don't know where it ends, it's going to be impossible for you to extract faith out of that subject, because you don't know where it starts and you don't know where it ends. The church thinks they understand tongues. They think they do, but they don't know how to meditate correctly. Well, you take a subject where it starts and you take it where it ends. There's a reason that Paul said, I thank my God. I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than ye all. There's more to come in tongues in weeks to come. But that's how I have sustained myself, praying 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I hear the Bible and I pray in tongues, and it has done an absolute wonder in me. Pornography is just a word to me now. We know what pornography produces. It's just a word and not even a thought anymore, barely. All because I've allowed the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, to purge me of filth and imaginations and want-tos in my life. Have I arrived? No, I have not. But I know I have never reached a place of glory and peace like I am now. Not because of my human endeavor, not because of my mind, because I've allowed the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to purge me of infirmities in my life. And if he did that for me and brought me to a place of peace with this going on, I'm telling you, I believe I can wake up in the morning seeing. And if I don't, I believe I'm going to wake up the next day. And if not, I believe I'm going to wake up the next day. Why? Because the perfect prayer is being prayed inside of my spirit, led, orchestrated, and sovereignly worked out by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. But I'm happy. I don't make 80% of the money that I'm used to. I used to have a good job, great paying job. I don't make hardly anything anymore, but I'm happy because money, mammon, is not my daddy. God the Father is my daddy, and the Holy Ghost is my comforter and my teacher. More to come on what it is and what it does. What it produces in you to pray in tongues. You don't have to roll with me on that. But you close your eyes. Go home, look at your wife, your brother and sister one more time. And you close your eyes. You close your eyes. And you think, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to give you a kiss, mama. Give you a kiss, daddy. And you close your eyes. And for 1 year, put yourself at a place of not being able to see their face. But put your thoughts here. That's me right now. I can see light. I can't see nothing but black here. Carl, black. I know as a person, I mean. But there's peace. The anchor holds, my friends. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The anchor holds. I have never experienced this kind of peace in my life with 20/20 eyesight. I have been born again, the third person of the Godhead. exhorts me, edifies me, comforts me, and teaches me true, true doctrine. I'm telling you, if you can grasp this, man, that junk that's holding you right now, that habit that you seem that you can't seem to kick to the curb, the Holy Ghost will purge you of this filth. It will, amen, Carl? It will purge you, won't it, Carl? Alice, will it purge you? You might not tell now because our church is small, but when the glory of God breaks out and those with AIDS get healed and those that are hungry are being fed and those that have no arms when them arms grow out, then you will say, that little short, fat preacher, I'm not fat no more, he was right. And I don't want to be right. I just want to introduce you to that which is right. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bell, hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you and we glorify you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We've been reconciled to you and filled with the Holy Ghost. Crank it up. Crank it up. Hallelujah. We're going to worship one time and then we're a goner. Let's give him praise today. Raise it up, baby. Go ahead. Hallelujah. We'll see you next week. Give him praise. Come on, Jesus Christ. Don't stop magnifying him. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Come on with me. There you go. Let's raise this roof. Let's give him praise. Give him praise. Think about tomorrow. The edification tomorrow. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug. We'll see you next Sunday, 6 o'clock. God bless you. Did you get something tonight out of this? Hallelujah. See you next week.